verse 19 and 20. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." So he also had a measure of the ministry's revival. So whenever you have all the four, the revival is quite strong. But of all the four, the strongest was the word and worship. Prayer was in the background. The prophets, they only listened once. At this point, 2 Chronicles 20. I'll show you how the other prophets who came and Jehoshaphat didn't listen. So there was no cooperation with the ministries, and the revival didn't last long. So for that reason, we're also going to see why the revival died. See, many people pray for revival, pay the price for revival. After revival comes, they don't know how to keep it. They lose it, and then it takes a long time to get it again. And so there was a tremendous revival that took place, and we read all about it, a famous story that many preachers have preached about that. But what caused the failure of the revival? Now, as God moves, as you notice from this Bible, the state of the people depends on the state of the leaders who led them. When there was no leader, no good leader, the people fall aside. When you have a good, strong leader, the people all rally together and they follow the Lord. That story is in the book of Judges, the book of Joshua, in Moses, and we see how also in the book of Kings and in the book of Chronicles. And as we look at that, as we consider these other four kings and four other revival, five altogether including Solomon, we will also consider and tie up to this, that we will see four hazards of leadership. When God raised you up as a leader, like Jehoshaphat and all these things, remember that as a leader, there are hazards, and we need to understand what the hazards are. There are actually six. Two of them are found outside the book of Chronicles, but four are found inside 2 Chronicles. We look at four and then give you the other two. Yeah, just mention it. So Jehoshaphat brought forth tremendous revival, but he had an inability to hold on to the revival and retain the revival to its fruition. Why did he fail? Because his leadership failed. For he was a fence-sitter. That's the first hazard of a leader. The higher you rise in leadership, both in the secular world and in the ministry, the easier it is to compromise to please people. The greater the temptation. So the first type of leader, the wrong kind, or the first hazard that can happen is the fence-sitter leader. If that leader were just an ordinary follower, nobody makes much noise. They put up with them. I mean, you know, he's a jolly good fellow, he's a jolly good fellow, right? And if the person is not a leader, that's okay. But we all realize about the fence-sitter who wear the coat of one army and the trousers of the other army, hoping to make peace and got shot from both sides. And as a leader, one of the difficult things to do, because a leader must to a certain extent please the people, yet to a certain extent he must lead. And a leader, one of the hazards is to be a fence-sitter. Be nice to everybody. It's a hazard. And these kind of hazards are only faced by leaders. The normal people face it, but it won't destroy them to that extent. But it can destroy a leader. Because the leader must have principles and stick by it. In chapter 21, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, verse 1, Jehoshaphat's one primary error. Chapter 18 verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab, the worst of the kings. Here you have the one of the best of the kings. I mean, the Israelites had only 5 major revivals after David died. And here was Jehoshaphat, famous for the warfare, through worship. Of all things, he was allied by marriage. So Ahab became his in-law. But Ahab was an outlaw. Therefore, Jehoshaphat became outlaw sometimes. When you're in-law to outlaw, you are sometimes outlawed. It was dangerous ground he was treading on. There were many times he wanted to please Ahab, and then at the same time wanted to please God. And there were many times when he couldn't please both. And he didn't want Ahab to shoot at him, so he pleased Ahab. But when he did that, God almost shot a thunderbolt at him. And the thunderbolt God sent was his prophet to warn Jehoshaphat. And if you remember who was the king who came to Elisha, you realize that he was the good king was Jehoshaphat. The bad king was the Israelite king. And Jehoshaphat was together with them. Very pally together. Why? Kaki lang. All related. Together. Sama, sama. But for God, sometimes sama-sama is tak sama. See, in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat had a good nature in him. He always said, well, before going to fight, he said, is there any prophet of God we can hear? See, Jehoshaphat got some good things in him. But because he was a fence-sitter, wanting to please all, he destroyed himself and the revival that took place. And God sent his thunderbolts to come. See, Jehoshaphat one day went to battle with Ahab. And Ahab was a very sly guy. Jehoshaphat was a little bit on the innocent side. I mean, here he set to battle, and the king of Israel and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat was going to fight. And the king of Israel was Ahab. King of Judah was Jehoshaphat. As they were going to fight, this Ahab is quite a sneaky guy. He says, Jehoshaphat, I will go in disguise. You dress as a king. Very sneaky. Because if anybody shoots, they'll shoot the king. And so Ahab go in disguise. And everybody, and the war was actually Ahab's war. The people they fought did not want to find trouble with the tribe of Judah. And yet Jehoshaphat went and sided with Ahab and fought that war for him. And since he was the only one dressed as a king, in chapter 18, verse 29, sneaky guy Ahab, he was a real crook. If only Jehoshaphat knew that Ahab doesn't care about him. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. Clever. So the king of Israel disguised himself. Now the king of Syria, in verse 30, had commanded all his generals, don't fight with anybody except the king of Israel. Sounds like a good story. And so in verse 31, as they went on to battle, all the fellows are looking for the king. So they see only one guy in robes. They say, that's the one, chase him, come on, ta da da ta ta da ta. As they were chasing him, poor Jehoshaphat. See, fence-sitters don't survive long. And so, there he was, in chapter 18, as he was, they were chasing him and fighting, in verse 31, Jehoshaphat cried out, And some of the people realized, hey, this is not the king, la. And they went aside. But somehow, in verse 34, the king of Israel died. And then, in verse chapter 19, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And here's where God sent his thunderbolt. It came in the form of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who doesn't like people to play Juhu. Jellyfish. What a name. Jehu. You don't like Jehu, okay? Chapter 19, verse 2. He comes and he says to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" And he warns him, "Yet some good things are found in you." See, that was a warning. Jehoshaphat was warned, "Don't sit on the fence." He was told, "Don't aid the wicked." Why help the wicked who hate the Lord? Now, Jehoshaphat in a natural would have been a very good man. If you don't consider the Lord, you just consider in a natural, put the Bible aside, he is a jolly good fellow. Nice to everybody. That's a hazard, the first hazard of a leader. Understand that true leadership emanates from Almighty God and His principles. It doesn't emanate from human beings. Because every crown and every position comes from God. And all human beings must acknowledge we are answerable to Almighty God. And that was what Jehoshaphat was, but he never learned his lesson. After chapter 20, which was a tremendous revival, right? After chapter 20, you are taught that he's reformed, repented, he backslided, came back to God. And you would have loved to hear that story, and he lived happily ever after. But after that tremendous victory in chapter 20, verse 35, After that great revival, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who was Ahab's, who reigned after Ahab, who acted very wickedly. And he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion Geber. See, he never learned his lesson. Now, he is now... At first he allied himself directly, now he allied indirectly to business ventures. God is saying, how can light fellowship with darkness? God says that person hates God. Not even neutral, hates God. He's trying to be a jolly good fellow. And in chapter 37, the second thunderbolt comes. See, God keeps sending the thunderbolts. This time is Eliezer, the son of Dodavah. Of Merishah, he prophesied and says, "Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." And all you were taught that if Jehoshaphat came, you could, you know, God will bless the ships because of Jehoshaphat. And then, this other king, Ahaziah, also will be blessed for the sake of Jehoshaphat. But it's opposite. You see, there is a truth where we are the cities of refuge. We are the salt of the earth. When people who do not know God come under our shelter and yield to the principles of God, they get a measure of God's blessing on their life too. But the principle works both ways. When the wrath of God is hanging over the wicked and you go to them, the wrath of God drops, you also